WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have a quick second and you're on Twitch and you'd like to subscribe for free to this channel, well, all you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free for 30 days with Prime Gaming. It's that simple. You can also follow the channel and, you know, hang out in chat as well. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday. We have a pay-per-view to kind of preview. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, and Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly at Twitch.tv/WGRLive to interact with us tonight, if you want. We're just going to sit here and talk.
Yeah, we have stuff to get into. We don't have a lot of stuff to get into tonight. We are technically talking about Fastlane, but there isn't a lot to really go off of. In fact, there's even less than when we prepped this show because they took a match off the card, supposedly. So that makes things interesting. But we do have some news, and we are going to talk a little bit about Fortnite Season 6 because that did come out this week. So we're going to review that. And yes, folks, there will be Fortnite with friends tonight. We are going to play and show you the new season and all the fun things that are in that. And with that, I say we jump right into news for our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211.
Sounds good. Where do you want to start?
All right. So let's start at the top because it's a big update and we need to get it out there. And that is that the WrestleMania tickets will go on sale tomorrow. They did have a pre-sale today and a lot of the tickets have already sold. So if you want to get one of the few WrestleMania tickets that are available, be ready tomorrow to snatch them up because I have a really funny feeling they're all going to be gone and they're going to have a complete sellout. So Ticketmaster.com for that. I think it's, is it 10 a.m.?
I believe so. I believe it's 10 a.m. Eastern. You can get your tickets, whatever's left. There are probably a lot of solo tickets. A lot of the pods have been sold for the 3 to 5, 8, 6 people in the pod or whatever it is. A lot of the pods have been sold. If there are some pods left, you have to buy the entire pod just as an update. You can't just, hey, I want 2 tickets. For the pod, you have to buy as a group.
Yeah. And I mean, that's great news for WWE. I'm sure they're absolutely thrilled with that because this is the first show that they've been able to sell tickets to outside of NXT.
They're not even selling tickets to NXT. Those are close people.
Okay, well, I didn't know. So these are the first tickets that they've sold in a year.
Yeah, this is the first time they're selling tickets in a year for wrestling. They've changed some things up on how you get them. There's like you have to give in and put an email in, verification email. Basically, aka stop the bot, which is smart.
They put in an anti-cheat.
They put in an anti-cheat, supposedly, for stopping the bot sales. So that's good. So get your WrestleMania tickets today.
That shows that they want the tickets sold and they want the seats filled. They just don't want to get the money. They want the butts in the seats because they want the stadium to appear as full as possible. The rumor is it's going to be about 20,000 to 25,000 people each day.
It's 25,000 a day, maybe a little bit more. I've heard some other numbers. Could be closer to 28, 29, but that all depends, probably last minute stuff.
And there's no word yet on if they're going to get, like, cardboard cutouts to fill seats.
No one knows yet. That'll probably be a week of this notice for people. They're going to try to make it look as WrestleMania as possible.
I mean, like I said, I think right after the Super Bowl, I don't know if I said it on the show or not, but I know I said it to you. If WWE went that route where they put the cardboard cutouts in the seats, they probably still have them from the Super Bowl. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world because from far off, it looks full. Like, it looks like it's just full of people because the stadium is so big that people just look like little ants from the far off shots. Up close, it's a little weird, but from a distance, the stadium looks full plus the roar of the crowd helps. Like, it really, really helps to make you feel like that stadium is full. It tricks your eye, which is nice. So I hope they go that route and fill the in-between with cardboard cutouts or something else to make it feel more full and WrestleMania-like as we are on the road to returning to normal. Finally.
Finally.
Took us a year, but we're here. Yay!
We're, as they say, back in business.
Yes. And they should be walking tall, just like Charlotte Flair will. She's going to be starring in the new USA adaptation of Walking Tall, where she will be playing the main character, so congratulations to her.
Yeah, USA Network adaptation of the movie. Walking Tall, it's a TV movie. Charlotte Flair is the main star, playing the role of The Rock, who is playing the role of someone else. I forget the name.
Yeah, it's a remake of a remake. It's a TV adaptation, but it's a big step for her because it's now setting her up for possibly life after wrestling. Because obviously she doesn't want to wrestle forever. She wants to capitalize on what she has and continue to grow. And this is that first foray into Hollywood for her. Where could she be that first real female crossover star to hit that superstardom like The Rock has and like John Cena is now finally having? Because the only other ones to really do it are the Bellas.
I mean, there's Sasha and the Mandalorian, so.
And Sasha's doing it as well. So it's a race between Charlotte and Sasha, I guess. But this is a big step for Charlotte as well. And you're starting to see them sort of dip their toes.
I mean, to be fair, Stacey Keibler was the first trendsetter. She became Dancing with the Stars.
She did. She opened that door and they never looked back.
She never looked back.
Yeah, she's like, peace out, bye. I'm out. And speaking of WrestleMania, going back real quick, we have two other WrestleMania notes. As if there was not enough.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. WWE NXT UK is getting in on the fun. They have a prelude that will air Thursday night at 3 p.m. on April 8th. That's their normal showtime, so it's not like it's a huge addition, but there's one more thing to watch in case you're just not on content overload. There's another thing for you to view.
One match announced for it is Noam Dar versus Tyler Bate in a Heritage Rules number one contenders cup match with Heritage Rules.
What the hell is that? What the hell are Heritage Rules? Is that like a, what is it, the Duchess of
Dukesbury?
Queensbury.
It's some sort of grappling rules. It's like the rounds. It's one with the rounds.
They have weird things over in the UK.
Also, real quick, before we get to this next story, WWE Network on Peacock did launch today, successfully.
Yes, it's something.
It's, they're working on it. I mean, I don't mind it.
No,
it's
fine. It'll take some getting used to for some people who do not like change.
I'm very, honestly, very excited because I have it through Comcast to hit my remote, hit the little microphone button, say WWE Fastlane into it, and pull the pay-per-view up where I don't have to sit here and fumble with 15 different remotes because I have to pull up my Roku. And then my Roku remote inevitably never works the night of a pay-per-view. So I have to pull the remote up on my phone to get the little sticky to work. So I can pull up the WWE Network so I can watch it on my TV. So the fact that I now have it on my cable box makes me beyond ecstatic.
For those wondering, April 4th, you're in the U.S., the network ends.
Yeah. So if you have not made the transition to Peacock, please make the transition. If you have Cox or X1 by Xfinity, and I don't know what the plan is for Cox, you get it for free. So please take advantage of that if you have those services. If not, they're running specials right now for you to sign up for like super cheap.
It's $10 for months right now. So the price of one network month, you get four. And it's only available for like 2 more weeks. So sign up now.
Yeah, so get it. Going back to WrestleMania real quick, Eric Bischoff has been announced as he's heading into the Hall of Fame this year, so congratulations to him.
Okay, so he was on After the Bell with Corey Graves and Vic Joseph, and they broke the news to him, and he goes, I usually can't shut up on my podcast. You guys left me speechless. He was broken up about it. It's like, it was awesome. Like, they caught him off guard with it, which is cool, like, how they're doing it this year. They're having one of the other media outlets they have and sort of breaking the news to people and catching them off guard with it. It's like, that's pretty cool.
I like that they're doing that. It's definitely a well-deserved induction. If anybody deserves this, it is Eric Bischoff, just for his contributions, good and bad, to the business. He has definitely left his mark.
So everyone who was complaining a year ago that he was not going in with the NWO, he's going in.
On his own.
So that's pretty good. Because everyone last year was like, oh, it's Hogan, Nash, Hall, and X-Pac. And it's like, what about Bischoff? Well, now that you got your answer.
He gets his own solo induction. Really, as he should.
Mm-hmm.
He should get to go in by himself.
Yep.
Couple quick signing notes. Layla Hirsch has signed with AEW, so congratulations to her. And WWE is adding depth to their rosters. They signed 2 Australian stars to developmental deals. Maddie Wahlberg, no relation to the other Wahlbergs, and Steph DeLander, they have been signed to WWE contracts, and they will report to the Performance Center shortly. So congratulations to them.
Good stuff.
And with that, let's do the blame brands before we get into the other thing.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
So Brent had a little bit of a busy week. So we're going to run down the roster, because, you know, like you do. NXT ref Tom Caster has a torn bicep.
# blame Brent.
That happened in one of the women's matches last week.
Which I think we saw?
Yeah, I don't remember which one it was, though, but he got injured in that match.
So, hopefully he recovers quickly. This week, we saw Danny Burch suffer a separated shoulder.
# blame Brent.
No word yet on how long he's going to be out, if he's going to be out at all. And then last but certainly not least, AEW's Anthony Bowens had to have knee surgery.
# blame Brent.
He'd been missing for a few weeks, so that explains where he's been. He injured his knee, and now he's getting knee surgery. So he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks.
So hopefully he feels better quickly as well.
Hopefully.
So, all right. Now we're going to move into our last piece of news. And this isn't so much news as speculation, rumor, gossip, what have you. There is no zero confirmation on any of this. So please take it with a grain of salt of what we're about to talk about. Okay? I'm just disclaimering this up front in case we get in trouble with anybody of, oh, you said it was this and it wasn't this. No. We have zero knowledge of this actually being true, but it's worthy of mentioning because, like we says, Fortnite Season 6 debuted this week, and we had a brand new character get introduced into the lore known as the Foundation. He's the leader of the Seven. If you follow Fortnite, you understand who the Seven are. You have one, basically these two warring groups, and the Seven is one, and then the other one is this group that keeps changing its name 15 times. Can we please pick a name for these people? That's my one complaint. So anyway, interestingly enough, on 3/16, the day that the new season launched, it's also Austin Day, The Rock put out a video titled The Foundation.
He did.
Where he talked about how it was an exciting day for a specific genre of people. And that could be wrestling.
Could be wrestling.
Or it could be Fortnite. Because if you go, which Rock's playing it on our channel right now, twitch.tv/WTRLive, or you can go to YouTube and you can watch the event on YouTube.
YouTube.com/RockRadioShow. Lindsay reacts.
Lindsay reacts. You see the foundation appear in the video. And you listen to him talk. And we're not saying it's The Rock, but the secret skin or the connection has not been revealed. But if you listen to the cadence, and as the video goes on, especially at the end, and you listen to the Battle Pass video, it does line up to it being The Rock and how he speaks and that kind of thing.
It does, doesn't it? It kind of
all ties together. And whoop, Fortnite has a DC connection. They have the DC partnership. And oh, hey, The Rock's going to be in a DC movie.
I'm just going to pull up. You guys can listen for yourself for a second. Just listen to audio.
You need to seal off the zero point and overload the device.
Overload the device? I'll be trapped in the loop.
We'll both have to find our way back. No matter what happens, do not give up. I will find you, and you will tell me everything.
You have my word. Here we go!
I'm just saying, you have my word. It smells like it's The Rock. It really does.
By the way, the voice changer guy, the guy with the robotic voice, we think that's the one that has The Rock. The other one is Jonesy. We know who that voice actor is. I can't think of his name off the top of our head, but the Foundation, that's his name in the game.
The Foundation, otherwise known as Rock. Okay, so what makes this whole thing interesting is how it's labeled in the files is DJ Dwayne Johnson.
And supposedly there's tattoos in there, and yeah. Now, Fortnite likes to put in teasers. They like to throw you off the scent. They know people go in and hack the files and look at stuff, so they could put stuff in there to throw people off the scent. So this could be a huge red herring. Don't know, but it's just interesting how it all ties together. The reason why we bring this up is if we do get a Rock crossover, it will probably be from DC, but that could open the door for a WWE crossover as well, because we could get the WWE version of The Rock. I'm not saying that we will, but that would be kind of cool if we actually get, like, Dwayne Johnson The Rock, at which point I say, I want my goddamn Bray Wyatt skin. I want it!
I know you do. You just want Bray Wyatt. But, just the idea of it opens up so many possibilities. It's cool, man. It's just so cool that it could be him.
It would be another major partnership and a major step, because with Dwayne Johnson and the amount of franchises that he's involved in, that just opens so many doors with him.
Yeah, it really does. But it's like, you just listen, we listen to the cadence and it's like, oh, this all makes sense, right? It makes so much sense. And at the same point, it's like, wait, it really could be him. It really could. And it's like, ooh, that's like, it just adds another element to the Fortnite lore, the Fortnite world. And it's like, all right, we see you, Fortnite. We see what you're doing. I don't know. It just makes a lot of sense. And there would be no reason for him to, you know, at the end of the day on Tuesday, to make sure he put out a video called The Foundation.
Yeah. It could all be circumstantial and be very, very coincidental, or it could be what we all think it is. Obviously, it's not going to get revealed anytime soon because the season just launched, and odds are that the Rock skin, if it shows up at all, will be at the end of the season, probably to correlate with Black Adam, because I think that's coming out soon. I think it comes out in 2021. I'd have to look, or at the very least, to correlate with, like, something else for DC, because the Snyder Cut just dropped.
Yeah.
So,
The end of the year.
So, yeah. So they have him in there, and it could be the end of the year before we see him. It may not even be the season. But it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a nice little tease.
So, with that, let's talk about it. NXT.
Let's get into NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
It was an interesting show they had to put together because of reasons beyond their control.
Can we just talk about the first match and how Dexter or Thirsttrap Loomis is amassing an army?
Okay, what? Talk about it.
So we had the match.
Dexter and Austin Theory.
Dexter and Austin Theory.
Before the match, Johnny and Candace weren't there, but they were live via tablet giving him a pep talk and saying this is the last bit of your therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. Indy was also not present, but Indy was thirsting after Dexter Loomis on Twitter, and God bless her for that. She's here for all of this, and we're all just cheering her on. That's why I'm calling him a thirst trap, because it's like, all right, Indy, you go get that. Even though I don't think he's interested. But yeah, the two had a really, really good, solid match. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit.
And then he goes to hug him.
Yeah, and then it's like towards the end of the match, Austin's down on the mat, and he starts smiling at Dexter, and he looks up, and then Dexter helps him up, and Austin goes for the hug. And poor Dexter Loomis, he's not much of a hugger. He doesn't really know what to do.
Nope.
That or he's like, dude, we're in public. And so he locks him in his submission and takes Austin Theory down for the 1-2-3. I like this. I enjoyed this little wrinkle in the story. So there's definitely something more there.
There is.
But I liked how Austin was like, wait, no, you're my friend. We hung out together. We did stuff together. Like, we're cool. And then Dexter's like,
nope.
Yeah, no. And keep your sister away from me, too. Thanks.
All right, so the show opened with Finn Balor in the ring. He said Karrion Kross's time is up. Karrion and Scarlett made a quick entrance to the ring, not their long, elaborate entrance. He said this was never going to happen until they settled their other affairs. Said one, it would be one-on-one or it would be meaningless. Balor said everyone wants to be champion until the real champion walks in the room. Balor said no one has the balls to tell Kross that he walks like a champion, talks like a champion, but the problem is that Finn Balor is the champion. Karrion Kross doesn't have what it takes to beat him. Karrion promised Finn that he would know what it feels like to have all the oxygen squeezed out of his skull when he chokes him out. Balor said Kross would know what it's like to be in the main event of TakeOver and choke. And Scarlett talked about reading the card, and she's seen the prophecy. Two champions, both draped in gold, the world in all. It all happens for a reason. Out walk the NXT Tag Team Champions. Just like that. They say Finn should be fighting Pete Dunne because he's the best technical wrestler in the world, and that he could be either Balor or Karrion. It's the only matter of time until Dunn becomes the next new champion. Scarlett said there are moments in time that lead to an inevitable future. She said there are moments like this when Burch and Lorcan put their titles on the line against Balor and Kross. She said they know what they want and know that what they bring to the table, and they wouldn't want the word coward associated with their names. So Danny Burch is like, all right, you got it. You got your match. And Scarlett told Balor, enjoy every moment. Tells him every moment happens for a reason, and he can't change this. So there's your prophecy, and Regal would make the match official.
I like this. I thought it was really good. It was a nice setup for the end, where you have Karrion Kross and Finn Balor working together, which, honestly, I'm not going to lie, I'm sort of here for. They ever want to put them together down the road? I mean, I can think of worse things.
Outside of William Regal's office, Tommaso Ciampa saw Mackenzie Mitchell. He said his tag team partner, Thatcher, wasn't in the building. He told her to find Fabian Archer and Marcel Barthel. And somebody knew where Alexander Wolf was. He said only one of them will be standing by the end of the night. More from old man Ciampa in a bit. Adam Cole, baby, was in the ring. He said Kyle O'Reilly made the biggest mistake of his life. He said he wasn't mad at him last week. He just didn't need him anymore. But then O'Reilly cost him the NXT championship. William Regal came out.
William Regal had a very busy night.
He did. He said, came out and said O'Reilly wasn't clear that we can damage his neck even more in the brawl. Kyle's been banned from the building and then awkwardly appeared on the screen. He said he found it hilarious Cole got up after losing last week. He said he will not rest until he ends Adam Cole, just like Adam Cole tried to end his career, Kyle. So they were friends over 11 years and said it is a threat that he's going to do whatever he has to do to get to Adam Cole. To end him. Adam Cole went up to Regal and said, O'Reilly just threatened to hurt me. That wouldn't happen if he found Kyle first. Adam is on the hunt. Later tonight, Adam would find Kyle as Kyle tried to run him over with a car, and they both got arrested.
Angry Regal is my most favorite Regal ever. Seconded by Suave Charming Regal. But yeah, poor William Regal and these goddamn kids that he keeps having to deal with and chase down, especially Kyle and Adam, who just cannot stay apart. They just cannot stop trying to murder each other. I will say Kyle trying to hit Adam with the car was creative. He can't technically fight Adam. He can't throw hands. So what do? You throw a car at somebody. Modern problems require modern solutions. I sure. Still say one, Regal yelling at Adam Cole and telling him to shut up was fabulous. But two, Bo Dallas getting chased by security across Full Sail and then getting hauled off in a golf cart was still better.
Yes.
This was good. This was really, really good. The Bo Dallas stuff is just better. That's number one in my heart in terms of NXT moments because nobody remembers it at this point because it's been so long. But that was the best send-off you could give anybody from NXT. But yeah, this I like where they're going with the Adam Kyle stuff. I like how they're building this. They're building the intensity. How because it's like oftentimes when they do the friend betrayal, it doesn't always come off well. This does. Because they're adding that personal ire to it where it's like, we weren't just teammates. We were friends. We came here together. We came here as a group, right? We came here as a unit from New Japan. We were the Undisputed Era. We adopted a child together in Roderick Strong. We had years of success together. And then you turn around and you kick it all away. What the hell? What the actual hell, sir? So I love all the entanglements that are going on in this. It's wonderful.
It was really good. Also on the show, we were backstage with the tag team champions, Blackheart and Ember Moon. And they came to NXT. Moon said she came to NXT make history. Be the face of the vision with Shotzi now. They're all ready to go. And Robert Stone and Aaliyah and Jesse Camera show up and say, you know, as people used to say, champions need challengers, and well, we want title shot, and well, we got a title match next week. Shotzi and Ember versus the Robert Stone brand.
Hey!
Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza beat Tyler Breeze and Fandango. Escobar was on, Santos Escobar was on the commentary, and he was boasting about he's the true NXT champ, Cruiserweight champion, and now came Jordan Devlin, and he said he didn't need to attack Escobar from behind. He said he told the entire world he was going to call him out, and that's what he's doing. Devin told Escobar to throw his title in the trash because the real champion is back. Santos was just laughing him off. He said he's refined what it means to be a Cruiserweight champion, made history as the champion. Escobar said Devlin has the title because everyone in the U.S. base for NX base forgot that he even that Jordan actually had it. Escobar challenged Devlin to fight him at TakeOver, and well, Devlin went for the headbutt, suplexed him, and then got him out of the ring before anything else could happen. So, good stuff.
I like this. I like that Jordan Devlin flew across an ocean in a pandemic to look Santos Escobar in the face and basically be like, fuck you. I was here first. I appreciate that level of commitment in a person and that level of spite in a person. I yep. really, truly do. Like, that is a commitment.
It is.
To basically, you could settle it in a phone call if you really wanted to, but oh no, I'm going to get on a plane. I'm going to fly, 8 to 12 hours all the way to Florida so I can look you in the eye and say that to your face. That is time and that is money and that is quarantine to do that. I mean, I respect that wholeheartedly. I'm honestly here for this match because Santos was like, I could care less. I could care less that you were here first. You haven't been here in a year. You haven't defended that version of the title in a year. I've been here. Let's go. So I'm honestly looking forward to this feud in this match. It should be good.
Dakota Kai beat Zoe Stark. Good match.
I like Zoe Stark, but I want her to begin to start to develop more of a character and a personality. And I know that we're only 3 weeks in with her, or a month in with her. So she has time to grow, but because they're obviously pushing her very, very hard, I want to know more about her. And they did a very lovely promo package for her. I think it was
last week, I think.
That kind of told you more about her, but now I want to see her begin to start to grow and change and not have her just be another girl in the women's division. But this was a good match. I wouldn't mind seeing this again.
Io Shirai came out, got in, Dakota got in her face, but she got pushed aside, and Io shoved the contract in the chest of Raquel and told her to sign it.
Io really wants Raquel.
Yeah, they do. Later in the show, Raquel was interviewed by Mackenzie. Gonzalez was talking about the contract and how there's an expiration date on Io's title reign. Dakota showed up and said they need to continue this next week with Io and Zoe, and they've lost a couple matches in a row as a team. They got to get back on together and show that they run this division. So she didn't sign the contract yet, but it'll be only a matter of time before she does.
You know, take your time. Make her wait for it.
Tommaso Ciampa beat Marcel Barthel, but that wasn't the big story. After the match, Walter returned to NXT proper, and they beat down Tommaso.
They don't want Tommaso. They just want Timothy back.
So give us Tommaso and Walter at Stand and Deliver.
Oh my god, that'll be such a slap fest. It'll be so good. Like, they're just gonna beat the shit out of each other for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the most productive way of settling things, but god, by god, it should be entertaining.
LA, it will be entertaining. LA Knight beat Austin Gray. Afterwards,
Austin Gray, that mustache. Like, he's such a conundrum to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he looks like he should be like a 50-year-old man, but he's like 20.
So, yeah. So during the match, Bronson Reed showed up and had LA Knight's jacket and, well, tried to wear it and it tore apart.
It didn't fit. He had some fit trouble and it kind of sort of popped at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
And then your main event was Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch versus Finn and Karrion. And, well, things didn't go the way Finn and Karrion saw it coming. And, well, Oney Lorcan was able to get the win. This is where Danny was at ringside hurt for part of the match. And then Karrion worked over Finn.
Well, what happened is essentially Finn went flying into Scarlett. He went for the double stomp. And he kind of went flying, and he sort of hit Scarlett in the face. Scarlett maybe kind of sort of put herself in the way a little bit to, you know, motivate her man to commit a felony in her name and kill Finn. So, yeah, all due respect for that. But yeah, this was a very good main event. Like I said, I wouldn't mind this trio in terms of Finn, Scarlett, and Karrion being a tag team or a faction at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually be completely on board with that, just because you could go back to, you don't have to have Finn do the makeup, but you can go back to those darker sides of Finn's personality from the demon and kind of pull more of that back out, like what he's already been doing, but maybe a little bit more. And he would work. It would work really well with the aesthetic that Karrion and Scarlett have going on right now. Like, it all just works. So
it does.
I'm here for that. But that was NXT.
It was.
So we're gonna take our first and only break of the evening, and when we come back, we are gonna be talking all about Fastlane, and then if we have time, we are going to talk all about Fortnite Season 6. But if we don't have time, don't worry, we're playing Fortnite with friends tonight, so you can see Season 6 for yourself after the show. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
That moment when a debate actually breaks out during the Greater Than Great Debate.
And it's Lauren from Boy Meets World taking on Terrence Winningham. Sister.
I'm going with that homewrecker, Velma, from the Scooby-Doo movies.
Lauren cannot win. She tried to break up the best couple in the world, so she gets eliminated.
No, Lauren's moving on.
No, she's getting eliminated.
Brock, fuck you.
She's getting eliminated. She tried to break. She tried
you.
She tried to break them up.
No, no, it's not her fault. Okay,
it is her totally her fault.
If he had doubt, then it's on him.
It's her fault.
No, she didn't do anything. She was just there. Corey was the one who took the steps.
She knew what she was doing.
No, she didn't do anything.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Okay, this is the greater than great debate right now, okay? No. Lauren didn't do anything. She didn't pressure him. She didn't put him in any weird situation. She was just there.
Who was the one who left the note?
All she did let him know her feelings. She didn't say, come meet me in my room and bone me.
Do you know what the note actually said? No. Thank you. Get her out of here.
Join us for more greater than great debates. Saturday nights, midnightish Eastern, during CB Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Score, of course, too. Yes! Yes! It happened! Rock is secretly fuming right now.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is Broken Not Hardy, and you are listening to The Rock Radio Show. Please tune in every chance you get. I find it absolutely wonderful.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and click to subscribe. It's that simple, guys. You can also subscribe the regular way or follow the channel with that button. But if you just want to hang out and chat, that's fine, too. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, I say we do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place. And I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty, I don't have a ton, but I do have some. So, alright, and yes, they are... They are some Indy Hartwell thirst tweets in there because she thirsty and I love her for it. It's really actually endearing her to me. So good job, guys. Good job. All right. Rob, the RSSVs. Oh, my. Genticles is so innocent. And she responds back, I'm a groan. And that's it. She forgot the rest. WWE on Fox, wishing everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day. And it's the graphic of Sheamus, Finn Balor, Becky Lynch, Jordan Devlin and Killian Dane, all their Irish people on a nice, pretty St. Patrick's Day background. And Indy Hartwell responds, why aren't I on this graphic? People tell me I'm green all the time. Reckoning. My ponytail is better than Ali WWE. Ali responds with a picture of him and his beautiful hair, and T-Bar follows it up with a meme of, my hair's better. No, lol, mine is. And it's a picture of Ali and Reckoning arguing. Amateurs appears in the background, and it's, what was that, punk? Amateurs, and it's a picture of T-Bar and his lack of hair. WWE, CC Indy Hartwell, and it's a picture of Dexter Lumis doing aftercare on Austin Theory after their match on Wednesday, and she goes, lucky Austin, funny face. Champion Meitzer replies with, I know you wish you were there, and she goes, Candace and Johnny wouldn't let me. That's all I have.
Okay.
Hashtag. Girl wants her some Dexter Lumis.
Hashtag four words better than sex. $9 Fortnite card.
No.
I filled your tank.
No. Well, I mean, wait, what did you fill my tank with? Because that could be taken multiple ways.
Rockstar Games announces GTA 6. The internet would nut themselves.
That's more than six.
No, it's GTA 6. It's one thing.
Oh. Eh, no.
You're not the father.
I'm not a guy, so okay.
Adam Pierce. There was a guy in my neighborhood this afternoon on the top of his roof shirtless cleaning out his gutters while blaring Pantera as loudly as humanly possible. It was me.
So proud.
Valkyrie posted a picture of her in a whole leather outfit.
It's latex.
Latex. Whatever. Dr. Lupo. I think I have the same outfit. She goes, Ben! Courage, can you let me borrow this outfit when you're done? Might be a little tight on me, but I can make it work. Right, I think you should borrow Dr. Lupo's. Might fit better.
Did you get the Mrs. Dr. Lupo tweet from that?
No, but I have Lupo's. Jack might have too much cake, to be honest.
And the Mrs. Dr. Lupo, somebody asked her, can you confirm if this is true? And she goes, yep, hugs him in all the right places.
Nice, nice.
She's accepted it at this point, that this is who he is, and...
Yeah. Dr. Disrespect, guys, gyms open up today near the La Casa. I'm putting on 30 pounds in 3 months. I've got so many next level projects in the works, I need to be shredded. Tim the Tap Man, I can bench more than you. Dr. Disrespect, sorry, I'm not familiar with the bench. I'm usually in the game. Damn, that Dr. Disrespect is an interesting individual. It's like he could have his own book or something.
I wonder if we could get a copy of it.
Maybe. Stay tuned. Anyway, that's Tweet of the Week.
All right, so we are going to preview what we have of Fastlane. There's not a lot announced for this show, and honestly, there is not a lot to talk about because this is just the road, like kind of like a speed bump to WrestleMania that they just refused to cancel for whatever reason. So, yeah, let's talk about it, and then if we have time, we'll talk about Fortnite Season 6 real quick.
All right, I got the card.
You got the card?
I do. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus, one-on-one, no stipulation, no nothing, just them one-on-one one more time because we need a fill time on a pay-per-view. Drew McIntyre is going to win this match because if Sheamus wins, they're stupid.
Isn't this technically like a number one contendership match?
Nope.
Or...
Nope.
Okay.
Because they've already put Drew in the main event.
Yeah, there's no point to this. Unless Sheamus wins by DQ and somehow they make this a three-way, Drew's going over. It makes no sense for him not to.
There's no reason whatsoever that Sheamus should win this match.
I will say it'll be good because they'll kick the shit out of each other.
Yes.
But I think they're blowing off the Sheamus feud.
It has no purpose. It has no meaning. It means zero to anyone. So I'm going Drew McIntyre wins. You're going Drew McIntyre wins. Magic 8-Ball, will Drew McIntyre beat Sheamus on Sunday? Very doubtful. Great. Wheel.
Option 1.
That would be Drew McIntyre. So there's that one. We have Big E and Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental Championship. Okay. Apollo Crews is doing a new accent.
He's doing a whole new gimmick.
Doing a whole new gimmick. He is, yeah, it's something. I don't know if it's working for me.
I don't know how I feel about this match in general, because like you're pushing Big E, you pushed him to the IC title. I feel like they want to push him higher, but it doesn't make sense because he just got the IC title to have him lose to Apollo Crews, but Apollo Crews just debuted this brand new character that he's doing and he's trying to get it over, and they put him in a title match, so it stands to reason that because he just got this new character, they just debuted it, he has a fancy like guards and everything now, that he should win, right? Because everything points to he should win. But are they going to take the title off of Big E and put it on Apollo Crews and then move Big E on to something else? Or are they just going to have Apollo Crews lose and then, like, the whole thing is essentially dead because he lost?
So Big E's beaten Apollo Crews twice already. Then it led to Apollo turning heel. So you would reasonably think Apollo wins here and you do a rematch of some sort at WrestleMania. But I don't want to see Big E lose it here because they're pushing him really strong. Like, he's doing his best work right now. Excuse me, since breaking away from the New Day. Then you go, Apollo has turned heel and he's now doing this whole thing. And I can see, in my head, a three-way, a four-way coming up at WrestleMania featuring Apollo, Big E, Corbin, and maybe Sammy. Or Sammy, and maybe you would throw Kevin. I would want Kevin. Kevin Owens, alright. Tangent. Kevin Owens has no storyline right now. He finished up 3 months with
Roman,
and he has nothing. He needs to be on WrestleMania and not in a battle royal.
Are they doing a battle royal?
They always do a battle royal. But that's my point. He needs something. So if anything, get him in this feud. Get him in the Intercontinental title feud. Kick Corbin out of it. Put Kevin Owens in there. Give me Big E, a Cruz, Sammy, and Kevin in a four-way WrestleMania. I'd be cool with that because Kevin Owens deserves to be on WrestleMania. For the work he did to help Roman Reigns get over, he needs to be on that show. Because I saw something, Kevin Owens is not sure he'll be on WrestleMania this year. He needs to be on WrestleMania this year. He deserves to jump off the pirate boat.
Yeah, he kind of needs... Somebody needs to do a cannonball off the pirate boat, and it should be Kevin.
He wants to. That's why he did off the sign last year.
They need to let Kevin fulfill his dream of going off the pirate boat. But all that being said, who wins?
I say Big E retains, but I'm not confident in that at all, but I say Big E retains.
I think Big E retains, but he retains through some sort of shenanigans that sets up a multi-man match at WrestleMania. That's the only thing I can figure. I don't know, though, because it's such, like I said, a precarious situation for both men, because it's like if either of them take a solid loss, it's going to hurt them. And with Big E really kind of in this do or die position of they're trying to send him to the moon, he can't really afford to suffer any losses right now. And then Apollo Crews, they just launched a new character like last week. It makes no sense to have him lose right out of the gate. It doesn't make sense to have him go for a title right out of the gate.
But he had already been in the title program, so it's just a continuation of.
Yeah. So it's like, do you just have him lose by, like, DQ or something and they blow it off? Or do you have him, like, win by DQ and that's how you get around it? Do you set up a multi-man? Like, how does this work?
I'm not sure. I still think Big E should go over clean.
I think Big E's winning. I think Big E, or I should say, I think Big E is retaining, but I think Big E wins as well.
Okay. At Magic 8-Ball, does Apollo Crews win the title on Sunday? Ask him later. Okay. Will Big E retain on Sunday? Very doubtful. Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 2.
That'd be the challenger, Apollo Crews. Up next, we have Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler taking on Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. So on SmackDown last week, Sasha Banks and Bianca lost. Bianca took the pin. After some shenanigans with Reginald and distractions and all that stuff when Tamina beat Bianca. One, very dumb. Two, because you try to build Bianca and whatever. And Bianca then was talking about how this is Sasha's fault because of Reginald and everything like that. Which it is, and like she's still stringing him along someone, even though Reginald's with Nia now, Sasha kind of still stringing along Reginald, and that's weird. A heel turn is coming for one of these girls. I've always thought all along it's going to be Sasha, but I guess the problem with turning Sasha heel is Bayley's heel. And if you both have them heel, you're more than likely to put them on the same team again at some point down the road.
Well, that's always the fallback.
That is always the fallback. Turning Bianca heel is not the smart move, especially with her coming off the Rumble and doing the whole thing with her parents and making her, like, babyface. But the Bianca character from NXT was a heel, and it worked as a heel. So, one of them has to go heel, and I think it should be Sasha to bring the old boss back. Because we've sort of been seeing it, but you need to see more of it.
I think you need to have Sasha get cocky. Yeah. I think you need to have her basically look at Bianca and be like, yeah, who the F are you? Who are you really? What did you do in NXT? Oh, you didn't really do anything. I made NXT. I made this title. This title is important because of me.
The boss.
I'm the boss. And then you have Bianca basically be like, bitch.
I'm the EST of WWE. Let's go.
Yeah. And so I don't think you need to have Sasha get, like, full heel, but you have her get cocky, you have her get confident, and you have her talk shit, and then you have Bianca basically put her in her place and show Sasha, hey, maybe you're not.
I could see Sasha walking out on Bianca in this match.
I see something happening in this match where somebody gets knocked out, somebody walks out, something to that effect. Reginald is going to play a factor in this. And there's the Reginald-Sasha history, so I could see Reginald doing something. Sasha leaves, it costs them the match, Bianca takes the pin, and Bianca gets pissed. And then Bianca and Sasha get into it, and that's when the words start to fly, and that's when the insults start to go, and then you break them up, and you have them go at WrestleMania, because Bianca still got the shot, and it would be really awkward to have them win the titles, and then, oh, hey, by the way, we're going to fight at WrestleMania. Kind of like what they did with Bayley and Sasha, it's like, it would just be awkward to have them fight when they're the tag team champions going for the women's titles, so... They seem keen to leave it on Nia and Shayna, so just leave it there and have those two fight.
I mean, they have done that story. Remember back in the day, you had Shawn and Cena as tag champs fighting for the WWE title at the WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's a story, like, it's an easy story for them to tell tag partners getting along, but circumstances like this, you gotta keep it on Nia and Shayna. So I think Sasha walks out on Bianca. They have words backstage, leads to a big confrontation on SmackDown. As you heat up the road to WrestleMania. So I'm going Nia and Shayna.
Yeah, I say Nia and Shayna win.
Abel, will Nia and Shayna retain on Sunday? Yes, definitely. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 3.
I put one Wrestler 3 on there for you.
Thank you.
Spinning again.
But it said Wrestler 3!
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2, that would be the challengers.
Chat, you heard it. It said Wrestler 3.
I know.
Wrestler 3 should get picked.
Let Brent figure what he wants out on that one. Okay? We'll leave it up to the intern.
Brent, it's Wrestler 3!
Then it's the WWE Universal Championship match. Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. There will be a special guest enforcer in this match, which will be determined on SmackDown whether it's Edge or Jey Uso. This will be Edge's first matchup in 10 years on SmackDown. 10 years.
I don't hate the idea of Edge being the enforcer because it puts him in a really awkward position of does he let Daniel Bryan win and then he faces Daniel Bryan, or does he screw Daniel Bryan and he gets the title or he gets Roman for himself at WrestleMania? Like, bear in mind that Daniel Bryan working with Roman has been doing some of his best work.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, he, honestly, no offense to Edge right now in terms of the character that Roman is doing, just because they really haven't kicked off the Edge storyline yet.
They have, but they haven't.
They haven't hit second gear with it. It's still very much, they're in that transition period to get Roman to Edge, and they're using Bryan as a way to do that. Bryan is the perfect foil to Roman's character, because ultimately, Bryan just does not give a fuck. He's so self-secure. And who he is as a person, what he's done, where he's gone, that any of Roman's insults don't matter to him. Because it's like, you know what, dude? I'm just as decorated as you are. I may not be a third generation superstar, but ultimately, Daniel's done more than Roman. He's held more titles. He's been in more promotions. He's been in business. He's earned his place. He's earned his respect in the industry.
So the man springs up in chat and it could become a triple threat match of WrestleMania.
It could.
It could. It definitely could. There are also other scenarios that have been put out there by people, and I hate it, but I don't hate it at the same time. How many nights of WrestleMania are there?
Two. You have Roman fight twice.
You could have Roman fight twice.
I'd rather they do a triple threat.
Again, I don't mind it because we've had two title matches in one night at a WrestleMania many of times, so it is a thing they've done in the past. The triple threat match scenario is a hard one to get to. Unless Edge refuses, but Edge is an enforcer, he's not the ref. So it's gonna come down to, there's a bump, a ref gets knocked out, so Edge is gonna have to make the call. So if you really want to do something here, you have Edge spear both men, walk out and just leave them both laying, and that's how you end the show, and that's how you set up your triple threat. But that's an old Edge move, that's not a current Edge move.
Well, nothing says he can't do it.
Nothing says he can't do it. I don't know if I want to see it. I'd rather see the one-on-one. But Daniel Bryan has that momentum thing people like talking about, and how he's always weasels his way, into main events. He did air quotes the other, on SmackDown, going into business for himself, as it were.
Here's the conundrum with the one-on-one of Roman and Edge. Somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. So do you have Roman beat Edge, or do you have Edge beat Roman and he wins the title? Because you cannot have the title match WrestleMania.
You just said the same thing.
Or I'm sorry. I'm tired. Roman beat Edge or Edge beat Roman. That's right, right?
Yeah, you want Edge beating Roman, right? That's the scenario that satisfies everyone, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So do you put the title on Edge?
At WrestleMania?
At WrestleMania, do you have him win the title that he technically never lost 10 years later or 7 years later or whatever it was?
Yeah, that's the story we're doing.
Or do you have Roman beat him? Like I said, you can't have it end in a DQ. So what does that do to Roman if Edge beats him? Because at some point, somebody has to beat Roman, right? Like, at some point, he does have to lose. He does have to lose that title. Somebody has to be smart enough and quick enough to outplay him, and Edge is certainly that person. But Edge is also in his 40s, all right? We're going to pull the age card. Edge is in his 40s, and we don't know how much Edge has signed up to wrestle, because my understanding is it's not full-time. My understanding is Edge is a special attraction.
But we're in 2021, where there is no rules.
Yes, because they're not on the road yet. They're not going from city to city, place to place, so it's easier for Edge to come in and do Raw or do SmackDown or do whatever show he needs to do, because it's all there. And worst case, if they need to pre-tape him, they can pre-tape him and edit it in, because there's no crowds at the Thunderdome, so you could really easily just cut something into the show, like what they have been doing with Alexa, and go from there. And then that way you could tape a whole bunch of shit with Edge, and you don't have to worry about it.
But I think you won't have to worry about it. They have a place in around Tampa. They're going to the University of South Florida for the Thunderdome for a month or two. They have a building. It's a place they did Rumble 95, so they have a spot.
Yeah, they've got that all figured out.
So, it was brought up in China, and I want to address it. A 50-year-old man should not be beating a man in his 30s.
That's it's happened plenty of times before.
It's happened many of a time. One, also Sting.
Yeah.
A week and a half ago. Yep. 60-something-year-old man beating a 30-year-old man. I don't even think he beat the 30 man. He'd probably beat the 20-something-year-old. Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how old Ricky Starks is. Doesn't matter. He beat the young guy.
He's significantly younger, we'll say that.
But the age doesn't matter if you tell the right story. That's what I'm told. And with Edge is 49, I believe.
No, I think he's 47. Because Christian's like Christian's 45 or 46.
Christian's 47. Edge,
and they're like the same age.
Edge is 47. Okay, Edge is 47.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. They're both 47. Okay. Someone said 49 with him. That was the whole thing before. Anyway, that doesn't matter. We're tangenting off to the wrong show. Fastlane, Brian and Roman.
I could see how you would set up a triple threat for Mania with Brian and Roman here, especially with a special enforcer.
Also,
because here's
also really quick, Daniel Bryan's another guy needs to be on WrestleMania. Go, continue.
Yes, and I'm getting there, because you can protect Edge and you can protect Roman by having Brian in the match, and Brian can take the pin for one of them, and that's how Roman or Edge lose, is they are not eating the pin directly. Brian's there to take the pin. It's not an ideal situation, but Brian can be there to take the pin for one of them, so that way it doesn't hurt them as badly. Not that it would, because it's Edge, he's a multi-time champion, it's Roman, he's a multi-time champion, but neither one of them really look weak. It's just a three-man where somebody happens to get a quick pin on Brian and they get out of it. And that could be a good way to have Roman lose the title, is he doesn't get pinned for it. So that's his way to finagle into another match against whoever wins the title, is by, I never got pinned, therefore I get another title shot. And that's how he gets his rematch. In terms of Friday, it doesn't matter who wins the special enforcer job, because the other one will be at ringside. The other one will play a factor. So if it's Jimmy Uso on Roman Reigns' side, he's going to go after Daniel Bryan for Roman. Edge will come out to play a factor and potentially make the save and cost either Roman or Bryan the match. Vice versa, Edge is going to try to mess with Roman. Jay's going to play a factor, and it's just going to be a problem for everybody.
Yeah. The other Usos come back sooner rather than later.
And we don't know where his loyalties lie.
Anyway, I'm going Roman retains.
I'm going to say Roman retains here, because there's no reason for him to lose the title this close to WrestleMania. That's never stopped them before. But I just doesn't make any sense for to have Brian lose. That being said, I'm sorry, Brian win. But I don't see this being clean.
I see shenanigans in this.
Magic 8-Ball, does Roman Reigns retain? Better not tell me. There's your answer there. And the Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
That's Roman Reigns. Your other match, in quotations, on this show is an intergender match. Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss.
Okay, I'm just going to say this now. If I do not get a whole ass Bray Wyatt on my TV on Sunday, I'm done with this storyline. I'm done with it. I'm sorry. I love what they're doing with Alexa. I love what they're doing with Bray. I love that what they're doing with Randy. But this has gone on for 3 months. Can we please get on with it? I get that this was supposed to happen at the Rumble. They decided to save it for Mania. So they've drug it out and drug it out and drug it out. But it has felt like it is 84 years with this, where they've off and on teased it. And enough is enough. Bring him back. Let's hit the gas pedal. Let's fucking go. Because this isn't going to be a match. This is going to be Alexa screwing with Randy because they made the reference to lead to potentially the Firefly Funhouse at Mania or sooner. We don't know. Because that's what this could turn into, is a Firefly Funhouse match between Bray and Alexa where he comes back and then they go back into the past. But it makes more sense to do it at Mania where you can reference everything, because what they referenced here was the original sin. She said, if Randy wants to kick me out of his life, well, he's going to have to face me. And as we all know, the whole reason that we have a Bray Wyatt is because a Husky Harris got punted in the head by one Randy Orton. So this has to be the return of Bray Wyatt. If it's not, then what are we all doing here? Seriously, I don't think this will have a winner. I think this, or if it, there's a winner, it's going to be Alexa.
There's not going to be a bell. If there's a bell, I'm surprised.
This is going to be a murder.
If there's a bell, there won't be a second bell.
Yeah, this is just, I think this is just straight up the setup for the return of Bray Wyatt.
Or,
and that's all this is.
Or, okay, maybe we'll get two bells. Maybe we'll get Alexa, you know, gets slammed and Randy goes for the punt, and then Bray appears in the same position Alexa was in, and then he Sister Abigail's Randy, and Alexa reappears and Alexa's on top of Randy.
No, I figure that it's going to involve fire.
I'm just giving a scenario.
I know, but it's going to be weird. It's going to be fucked up. There's probably going to be zombie puppets, although who knows at this point with Bray. Bray will come back in whatever form, if he comes back, whatever form he's going to take. The fiend as we know it will be gone. He will not come back, I feel like, with this exact same look. If he does, like if he comes back with the exact same mask, outfit, everything,
then that's a marketing reason and they couldn't change it.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's also kind of a waste.
It is a waste. But it would be a marketing thing where they couldn't get the other stuff marketed.
Well, the other side of that too is they just need the time to change it, and that could be the delay, is for marketing reasons. They're basically changing everything over so that way when they go live they can just swap him, because they like to use him in their marketing materials because he's very eye catching. But yeah, this is going to be fucked up, whatever it is. We don't know what it's going to be. I doubt it's going to be an actual match. I mean, Randy is going to try to punt her so hard that Husky feels it. But we'll see if that actually happens or not.
I don't think we need to make picks. I don't think we need to spin a wheel or ask an 8-Ball. Actually, I'll ask the 8-Ball this one question. Magic 8-Ball, will the fiend Bray Wyatt show up on Sunday? You may rely on it.
Better not be fucking with me. I'm serious. And the whole reason is I'm tired of it. I'm tired of waiting, because you only get it once a week, right? So it's like, I have to wait 7 whole fucking days to see if he comes back again, and I sit through a 3-hour Raw and nothing every week for 3 months. And granted, you kind of had some leeway in there because it's like, okay, he's got to sell it. It's fine. So we come up to the Rumble. They're gearing up for the Rumble. It feels like they're going to go for it.
She can't get her Taker, and she needs her right Wyatt.
I'm going to withdraw at this point. So they build up to Rumble. Nothing. Okay. Well, it's got to be Chamber then. Build up to Chamber. Nothing. Now it's like, okay, building up to Fastlane. We're less than 30 days away from WrestleMania. Y'all are going to do this. Now's the time. Just throwing that out there. So we'll see. But real quick, Fortnite Season 6 or no?
Yeah, let's get into it really quick.
All right. So we played the teaser earlier in the show. Basically what happened is between last season and this season is reality sort of imploded. It's on the technology screens over on Twitch now. And Jonesy had to save reality. And so to do that, he betrayed the IO Imagined Order people that he worked for, which we believe was the agency from a few seasons ago. And he went to the Seven, who we believe were part of Shadow. And they are run by a guy named the Foundation. So Jonesy summons this dude, and together they have to stabilize the Zero Point.
To save reality.
To save reality. So they figure out a way to stabilize the Zero Point, but in doing that, Jonesy and the Foundation are trapped in the loop. The Foundation is trapped within the Zero Point at the center of the map. And basically they have to figure out a way to break the loop. And as a result, the island has gone wild, where it brought in alternate realities as they were trying to stabilize it. And we basically have a prehistoric slash dinosaur slash futuristic, I don't know, not really futuristic, but magical alternate reality type situation going on the map, where the sand tunneling is gone, the sand is all gone, the crystals are all gone. A lot of the POIs from last season that they set up around the center are gone. Pretty much all of them are. The only one that kind of remains is the Colosseum. They put the farm back in where the Colosseum was.
Stealthy Stronghold is the only POI that sort of remained.
Yeah, and that got changed over because they did the crossover with Tomb Raider, which was cool. And there might be others, which we talked about earlier in the show. But overall, I like the map changes. One of the things that I'm still not sure about is they completely reset the weapon pool.
They did.
They did add the cool feature of crafting, so you can upgrade weapons through crafting depending on what you get. Because you have like makeshift, primal, or makeshift, and then the regular weapon set that we're familiar with. And then you, based on what you get, you craft it on the go to get the weapon that you need to get or that you want to get. So I like that they brought the upgrades back and they took them out of the NPCs who are still on the map. There's 46. And you can get upgrades through them, but if you just need to upgrade as you go, you can craft and get the weapons, which that's so much better than the way that they had it last season. Like the gold system, it was fine, but it was a pain in the ass if you needed to go like go find something or get something, because ultimately it was not consistent in terms of getting certain weapons or getting certain upgrades that you needed, and you had to go to specific locations, which was just difficult. So the other thing that you can do is you can hunt.
You can hunt animals this season.
With a bow and arrow or a car. It is your choice.
It is, in fact, your choice.
But I mean... Sorry, go ahead.
Whichever you decide to do. There's chicken, there's wolves, there's pigs. You can fly with the chickens. There are guards on different points of the map. The bows are something. You can create different bows, which are cool.
Yeah, there's no snipers in the game this season. All you have for distance are bows and arrows.
Yep.
Which is an interesting choice. There were a lot of things that were done here that were very deliberate and were fun. I mean, I think they definitely did it to shake up the game.
They had to. They changed the loot pool. They made it something different. And it's an adjustment. It's 2 days in, 3 days in now. It's going to take a week or two to really get adjusted to the new style apply, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's like basically you just have to relearn what everything does and how everything functions. And then by the time, you know, we all learn it, they're going to swap the season out and take everything out of the loot pool again. And then it's like, I'm going to have to figure it out all over again. I will say that the primal shotgun that I put in is disgusting. It's OP. It's a rapid fire. It's the drum shotgun, but it's like jacked up.
Yeah.
Especially if you get it in purple or gold. Jesus, it hits like a bus.
Yeah, it's...
It's cool.
It's cool. But I will take you more into the map on Fortnite with friends, but that was a little something. The event was really cool, as you've seen. You can see Lindsay's full reaction to the event and to the battle pass available now at youtube.com/RackRadioShow, where you go watch the VOD for a couple, like another week or so at twitch.tv/LindsayWard.
Yeah. Sorry for the Laura Croft flub. It was early. I hadn't had my coffee yet, so I meant to say Laura Croft. I said Laura Jones. But yeah, in terms of the event, and the playable cutscenes, where you got to interact and try to save reality with Jonesy and the Foundation. Like, Epic just can't be touched with that kind
of
shit.
Oh, speaking of the first part of it with the cutscene, the Russo brothers behind it, that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. And they did such a good job with it. Like, it just, the thought that went into that is just, you don't see any other video game companies doing that in terms of their games, in terms of making it a completely interactive and immersive experience for a season change. And this is the first time that they've done the event at the beginning of the season versus the end. And I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I wouldn't mind if they did more like that. I understand it's a shit ton of work to put together, but this was just, in terms of events, this was absolutely flawless, because instead of being an event with a group of people and everybody's building and everybody's shooting and you have to worry about, you know, potentially dying before the event starts, this is, you're on your own in the event. Like I said, it's completely immersive. You're interacting, you're doing things, you're running around. You have a very clear view of the entire thing. And I like that. I like that a lot, how they did that. I hope they continue it.
So with that, we're done.
We're done. So we're actually going to play Fortnite with friends and do season 6 coming up next. But before that, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday Night Midnight-ish is another edition of Seabird of SeabirdLab.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com, regular show, fantasy draft, and all that stuff. Saturday Midnight-ish, Sunday Night Russell Talk Radio reviews Fastlane once it ends. Monday Night Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We have a lot of Rack Extra reviews coming. Just, you be warned, there's, I got two things here. There's Ms. and Mrs. There's going to be a lot of Rack Extra previews, a lot of extra Rack Extra reviews coming in WrestleMania week. The full schedule is available at twitter.com/wildtalkradio. We'll be live to preview NXT TakeOver, review NXT TakeOver, WrestleMania preview, WrestleMania review. We're on like for 3 straight days for just this show alone. I'm going to be dead by the end of it all. Follow at Rack Radio Show on all your favorite social media platforms. That's at Wild Talk Radio at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, if you have that Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. And you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rockstock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy a battle pass and all the new skins, because we're a hashtag epic partner.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So if you're listening live, everybody sit tight, go get something to drink. If you're over on wildtalkradio.com or recradioshow.com, head over to twitch.tv/WTRLive. If you want to see us play Fortnite, we're going to get the squad together. If not, that's fine too. And if you're listening to the guac. Yeah, let's go get guac. No. You're listening to the VOD, or if you're checking out for the night, we hope you have a great night, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com